Well, we are in chapter 10, and I'm going to kind of blaze through this, but there are some important things that we need to know. Remember, Jesus has been talking to people. He's been healing people and then talking with them, and then the Pharisees are always coming up saying, what about this? What about this? And they're trying to trap him, and he's getting on to them and talking to the people at the same time. It's no different in chapter 10. We're going to see two of his I am statements in this. We're going to see where he says, I am the door, and they don't understand that. And then he says, okay, I am the good shepherd. And so he's going to speak a little more clear to them. And we're going to find out that some people still believe in him, and still the Pharisees, they don't know what to do. Some of them want to get rid of him, say he's got a demon, they want to kill him. Others say, like, wait a minute, maybe he is who he says he is. So, Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm going to start in chapter 10. I'm going to read the first five verses. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the strangers. And when Jesus first talks about this in this particular passage, he's giving an allegory. He's painting a word picture so that they can kind of see what's happening. He says, you know, those that don't enter through the door, that are like basically climbing over, they're not supposed to be there, is basically what he's saying. They're robbers, they're thieves. I mean, if you have the key and you go through the door, then you're supposed to be there. But if you have to find another way to get in there, you're breaking in, and so you're not supposed to be there. And then he's letting them know that they won't listen to them because they're really his sheep, and they're going to follow him. And they're scratching their heads going, like, I don't know what he's talking about. I don't get this allegory. A couple things in there. First off, in John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, when Christian goes through the gates into the promised land, as he goes through the gates, he sees two other people that are jumping over the fence or climbing over the hill, and they're all worn out and everything, and he goes, what are you doing here? And one says, well, I'm here because of my good works, and I want to share my good works. And the other one's here, I said all of the right things, basically. And the way John Bunyan puts it, the one that speaks the words like that is really hypocrisy. And the one that is trying to do his good works, that's, you know, I'm just trying to do it based on my moral values and everything. And so Christian asks them, he says, why don't you just come in through the gate? If you're really saying the right things, if you're really doing the right things, why don't you just come in the gate? Because the gate's open to those that are doing those things. And Jesus is kind of, you know, Jesus is saying to the Pharisees here, he's saying, listen, if you don't enter through the gate, you're just a liar, a thief. You're trying to steal the flock. But if you go through the gate and the sheep know you, then they're going to follow you. And when you open the gate, they're going to come out because you're going to lead them out. They're going to follow you and they know your voice. And if you're calling to them and they don't respond, it's because they don't know your voice. And so he's trying to get onto them for a little bit. Then look at verse 6. This figure of speech that Jesus used with them was an allegory. It says, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. They're scratching their heads. What are you talking about? Sheep and a gate and stuff. So he breaks it down. Let's talk about this. First off, they couldn't tell what he was saying, right? So in 2 Corinthians, Paul puts it this way. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to them from seeing the light of the gospel from the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. In 1 Corinthians, he says this, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. In other words, sometimes when I crack a joke on Wednesdays, there are some people that just roll on the floor hilariously laughing. Not very many, but there's a couple, all right? My thought is, not everybody is going to get what I say, but the right people always do, right? So what Jesus is saying here, you don't understand what I'm saying because you already, your eyes are blinded to the truth. You are so stuck on trying to get rid of me. You think I've got a demon. You're more concerned about the laws. You don't even care about these as people. Remember the man that was healed in the pool of Bethesda? I mean, he was nothing to them. The woman at the well, she was nothing to them. The man that and last week when we talked about that was healed from blindness, he was nothing to them. He was just simply a tool to get at Jesus. In other words, they missed what the ministry that was going on. And Jesus is reminding them, you're blind. You have no idea what's going on here. I mean, consider what's happening. The man that was born blind had been healed. What happened when he was healed? When he finally says to them, what, you want to follow him too? I've already told you this. I don't know who he is. All I know is I was blind and now I see. And they said, well, he must be from a demon. He says, well, you guys don't even know. You guys don't even know. So what did they do? They threw him out of the synagogue. You see, what happens is they scatter. And this is why Jesus is telling the allegory. It's in contrast to the scattering that the Jews have just committed. Oh, you're healed now. Get out of here. We don't even want to talk to you. We're after this man here. They scatter, but what does Jesus do? He's saying he gathers. He's this shepherd. He's opening this door. He's gathering these sheep. So he goes on a little bit farther. Let's go 7 through 10. They don't understand what he's talking about, so he tries to break it down again. He says this. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you that I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. It says that the thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. And I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So he makes it very clear. He stops and he says, okay, no more painting a picture. I am the door. I am the door. All these other things that they're being taught, that's not going to help them. I am the door. And if they come and enter through me, they will have everlasting life. And Jesus reiterates this idea of being the only door in John 14. We'll see this in a couple weeks where he says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. In other words, I am the door. And what a great comfort it is to know that he is the door. We also know that when we enter into him, we have this eternal life with him in heaven, but we also enter into the kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom of heaven is now. Jesus says, I came to bring you life and to give you life abundantly. He came to give us hope. He came to give us peace. And yet sometimes we turn blind, just like the Pharisees. We get caught up in the worldly things. And notice when he says that I am the door, it's not like, hey, I'm one of the doors. You know, he's saying I am the door, singular. In other words, I am the only way, and this is the only pasture that matters. There's simply no other way but Jesus Christ. Jesus, and he alone is the savior of sinful man. No good deeds. It doesn't matter how many good things you do, you might as well just be climbing over, sneaking in. Some of the most chilling things in Jesus' words is when he tells that some people on that day are going to come to him, and he's going to say, depart from me, I don't even know you. And they're going to say, but didn't we do all these things? Didn't we say all these things? He's going like, I don't know who you are. It's our good works aren't going to get us there. The things that we say aren't going to get us there. It's our heart. And our heart has to be given to our Lord and Savior. We can't just say, confess that Jesus is Lord. Jesus, you're Lord. But then we don't make him our Savior. And if we confess that he is our Lord, then that means we follow him, we worship him. See, in America, we're not used to worshiping anybody but ourselves. I mean, I remember when I was in elementary school, you know, one of the things the teacher would always say, Paul, if you study hard, one day you could grow up and be president of the United States. Who wants that job now? Honestly. Do you guys listen to the President of the United States? No. There's somewhere along the way where we grew up, we kind of look at authority as underneath us. In other words, we get offended when someone in the house goes, you will refer to me as your honor or something like that. It's like, no, you work for me. I pay your salary out of my taxes. In fact, you represent me, you work for me, then you should be telling me, hey, sir. I mean, we get this whole thing that okay, Jesus, I'm glad you're there, but there's no way I'm going to lower myself enough to follow you. And yet he's saying, no, you guys are sheep. And we're going to walk together through this. So how do we enter through the door? Well, it's to have faith in Jesus Christ as the Savior of our sins. Again, listen, it is to have faith in Jesus Christ as the Savior of our sins. So that's the first thing he says when he starts this. He says, I am the door, and I am the only door. I am the only way. But then he breaks it down to something I think this is even more important. In verses 11 through 15, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. Again, this is, again, just repeating it. And in the Greek and Hebrew, in the Bible, when something is repeated, it's meant to have emphasis. Again, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Stop right there. That's the whole gospel message. Jesus is telling these Pharisees the whole gospel message. What the shepherd does will lay down his life for the sheep. And it's his choice to lay down his life for the sheep. Do you understand that? We're the sheep. He is the good shepherd. And it says, if a hired hand, you know, someone that comes in and they're doing these things and they don't really own the sheep. Well, what happens when troubles come? What do? They leave, and then what happens? The world comes in and scatters. I think of, you know, there are some pastors. I think we were talking about this one time on Wednesday nights. It came to the word apostle, and the definition we kind of worked out, one man's definition or whatever, we kind of worked out the apostle was someone that had actually seen Jesus. Well, how could Paul be the apostle Paul? Well, there Jesus spoke to him in a vision, came to him in a vision, okay? But in our world today, there are pastors that call themselves apostles because they started a church. Okay, well, I started a church. Y'all gonna call me Apostle Paul? I hope not. Because what I see happening in our world today, look at the fallen ministers of the gospel. You know, that either through sexual sin or through financial irregularities or different things, and we see this church, this flock that has come together under the lordship of Jesus Christ, but yet the pastor that's leading them makes it all about him, and how many churches have we seen just broken and split apart? And what happens to the sheep? They're eaten up by the world. They're taken in. We're all familiar with stories that hit the news of pastors that fail. What happens to those congregations? What happens to those people? Because those people had put their hope and faith in a man. And what happens? That man couldn't hang on. He's just a hired servant. Just a hired servant leading the flock. But when trouble came, phew, gone. Not even looking back to see what happened to the people that were left in the wake. But Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd, and I know them, and they know me. I know my own. I know those who have called on me, those that worship me, those that have humbled themselves before me. I know them, and you know what? They know me. And just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And that's going to come to pass later on when Jesus goes to the cross. And from the cross, while he's being mocked and spit on and cursed at and beaten and bloody and unrecognizable, he goes willingly and he says, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. He is setting up the stage to these people that are there, that have seen this blind man, the Jews that have been there, and also to the Pharisees. He's letting them know that I will lay down my life. This is talking about his death and his resurrection. I mean, look at what a good shepherd does for us. The first thing, he calls the sheep by name and he knows them thoroughly. Isn't it wonderful to know that while we were still far from God, he still loved us so much that he sent Jesus for us? The song that we started off today, "You Know My Name." He knows you. It says he knows how many hairs you have on your head. He says before you were knit in your mother's womb, he knew you. He knows the name of all of the stars. This is the good shepherd. And consider this, you know, we think of that like, oh, that's great writing. Oh, that's a great thing. No, think of that personally. Jesus knows you. He knows what you're going through. He knows your heartache. He knows your joys. He knows your sorrows. He knows everything that you're going through right now. The Lord knows you thoroughly by name because you are one of his sheep. Another thing, the good shepherd, it says it leads them out, right? In contrast to the false shepherds that lead people astray. Hey, follow me. I'm going to take you down this road. And then you get down this road and what happens? It's like Pinocchio, you know. It's like the fox. And the other thing, he's leading you down a road that you think you want to be there. But you don't. So, but Jesus leads us out because he will lead us to true life and won't lead us astray. The third thing, a good shepherd is recognized and followed by the sheep. They know his voice. I haven't raised sheep. I understand sheep are pretty stupid and they're dumb. But sheep, you know, like sometimes we'll get too close to the edge of a cliff. They'll look down, they'll fall over. They'll go to a stream, and if the stream is running, they won't drink water, even if they're thirsty, because they don't know what to do. That's why in the 23rd Psalm, he leads me beside the still waters. You have to kind of find a pond or something that's not where, so that they'll know to drink. I don't know anything about sheep, but I do know something about chickens, okay? I do have chickens, right? And the chickens, this is weird, when they were little chicks and we were trying to pick them up and stuff, they didn't want anything to do with us. But now, there's a couple, man, that, I mean, I could call like Fluffy, and Fluffy comes to the fence. Precious, come to the fence. I call Trouble. Trouble don't come anywhere, and that's why her name's Trouble. I'm about to name her Lemon Pepper, so y'all figure that one out. But the idea is they recognize the voice of those that are taking care of them, right? Do you recognize the voice of Jesus when he's speaking to you, when he's talking to you in your prayers? He's recognized and we follow him. Sometimes it's like our conscience. You know, we do something we shouldn't do and we know we shouldn't have done it. And we're like, oh man, the Holy Spirit within us kind of makes us uncomfortable. And then we recognize the word of God. We see it in scriptures. The truth is apparent. We know his voice. That's why when we hear something like in our society and in our culture that says, hey, it's okay to do this, there's something within us that stirs us and says, that ain't right. There's something wrong about that. And as we search God's word, remember when you open the Bible, God speaks. And when you open this up and you see that it is truly against God's design, against God's word, against God's laws, then we say like, I knew that was wrong. Another thing, the good shepherd provides life in abundance. We sheep are at the mercy of the world. The wolf in this story, where the wolf will come and scatter. The wolf is our flesh. The wolf is the world. The wolf is Satan, our real enemy. That the things that pull on us and try to drive us away and isolate us. But Jesus gives us life in abundance. And then, of course, the good shepherd will lay down his life for the sheep. That's the gospel in a nutshell. The Bible tells us, you know, that no one's going to lay down their life for someone else. Sometimes a good man may do that, but Jesus did it for us even while we were sinners. He loves us so much. Not only does he lay down his life for the sheep, but the good shepherd is loved by the Father. And this reference back to God the Father is always present in John's gospel. Everything that Jesus does, he says, I don't do this on my own accord. I do this because this is what, you know, the Father says, and I speak what the Father tells me to speak, and I do what the Father tells me to do. So then we come to, I think, one of the most awesome verses in this chapter. Not that it hasn't been awesome enough, that he's a great shepherd, he's the door, he's the only way. Not, those are great things, but listen to this. Verse 16, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold, and I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock and one shepherd. You know who he's talking about? He's talking about us. See, he's talking to the Jewish people. He's talking to the Jewish religious leaders. He's talking to the Jews because that's who he came first to try to save, you know, and he's telling them, like, well, you know, my sheep know my voice, and they're going to follow me. But then he says this, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I have other sheep that are not Jewish, that are not going to sit here and do this stuff. And that's the Gentiles. That's us. And he's saying, I'm going to bring them into the fold, and you know what? There's going to be one shepherd, and there's going to be one flock. Around the world, we are one people that are under the lordship of one God. This is the good news for all of us, that the good shepherd guides his sheep, gathering all the other sheep so that we could be one flock and one shepherd. We've been invited to be one of God's chosen. Do you get that? I'm not going to, you know, there are people that argue today, well, the Jews blew it, so they're out of it now. And so now the church today, we're the new Jews. It's like, no, that's not it at all. Go back and read Ezekiel and some of the other prophets, Old Testament prophets. God still has plans for the Jewish people. But we have been grafted into the family of God. And guys, it doesn't get any better than that. You want peace that passes understanding? You can have it. You want the Holy Spirit? You can have him. You want the gifts of the Holy Spirit? You need to call out to him and cry out to him and ask for those gifts. You want joy when the rest of the world is going crazy? You can have it, because that's what Jesus is doing for us. And then skip down to verse 19 through 21. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Of course, many of them said, he has a demon and he is insane. Why listen to him? And others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? And we see even among the ranks of the Pharisees that there are some beginning to say, like, wait a minute now. We know that Nicodemus, we know that there are several others that will come to faith and come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Again, after Jesus had spoken, we find that there's this division. And I find this particularly interesting because, again, some of the Pharisees now are starting to question their stance. We know Paul was a Pharisee, Nicodemus, of course. So the Lord is already beginning to do a work in their minds when Jesus declares that he is the good shepherd. You see, some got it. Some, their eyes begin to, I'm not so blind anymore. I'm beginning to understand what he's saying. Isn't that in our world today? There's still confusion about who Jesus is. Good teacher, a moral man, a prophet, just a healer, a miracle worker. You know, who is he? What is he? But the Christian life that we live, it's not a life of shortcuts. Guys, you can't jump over the fence and climb into the sheepfold and hang out with the sheep. Jesus is the door, and he opens the door and he says, come. Come. Going to church, saying the right prayers, giving the most offering, owning more Bibles than anybody else, that's your way. That's not the Lord's way. What then is the way to Jesus? It is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. The Lord brought us in through the door that was Jesus, and he is our shepherd each and every moment. And just like sheep, you know, we can look at the animals and call them dumb animals, but how many times do we find ourselves in precarious situations that we put ourselves in? And we just sit back and shake our heads because we are sheep. And yet he is our good shepherd. So praise be to the Father for the good shepherd, who is our very Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the only doorway to reconciliation and restoration and eternal life, not only then, but now. Let's pray. Father, we just pause and say thank you. Thank you for shepherding us in our weakness and in our earthiness. Father, I pray for our people here at Three Point that we would humble ourselves and allow you to be the shepherd that leads us. Father, we face so many demons and wolves from the world that try to pull us off track, try to get our attention and get us to focus, to drift our focus from you into these earthly things that won't last. Father, we find ourselves angry and bitter over crazy things. Father, I just pray that we as a people would just seek your face. And as our good shepherd, Father, that you would lead us, that you would lead us into these paths of righteousness and that we would be made new. And Father, we pray all these things in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.